Good to be here, and I enjoy what I've heard thus far and what I felt, and thankful for our revival meeting. The Lord has certainly blessed us. There are things that I know that we all still hope to see, but the Lord has certainly blessed us and has been with us. And as we continue on, I want to ask you to just keep praying. Again, I want to ask that you pray especially for those who are not saved. I've got some scripture on my heart that I'd like to share with you. Very familiar reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll read about 8 verses, beginning with verse 1. So if you'd like to read with me, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And with those verses being read, I prayed and meditated about how that I might best present the things that the Lord had, thoughts that he had placed upon my heart. And I selected a title from an old hymn that I have heard. I've heard people in our churches sing it really as far back as I can remember. And Brother Strode sang it this week during our revival meeting. It's a song that I don't know if it's in any of our books or not. It's usually one of those spontaneous songs that somebody will start when they feel the occasion and the Lord moving them. But in this song, and I want to borrow these words from that song for my title today, and that is, we're going up to heaven, don't you want to go? And if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to ask you to especially think about that with me, if you would. Paul had reached the point in his life where he was aware of the fact that his life was just about finished. And I heard a preacher one time make this assessment of Paul's ministry. He was preaching on the Lordship of Christ, and he took his reading from Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And this preacher, when he read his, after he read his scripture text, he said these were the words of that man that walked all over the pagan world and turned every house into a chapel and every street corner into a pulpit, proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. He lit the lamp of the gospel even in Caesar's household. And he said, then when it was all finished, towards the end of Paul's life, he sat in Nero's cell in chains and conquered Rome by writing letters. And I thought that was a pretty good assessment of Paul's ministry. He was a very zealous worker for the Lord. And Paul was a very burdened man. He was an apostle to the Gentiles, and he had a great desire to see people saved. And he labored very diligently for that purpose. Paul preached in a lot of different places. He was a missionary. He preached in a lot of different places to a lot of different people. And he had a great desire and a heavy burden in his heart to see those people saved. And not only the Gentiles, but Paul never seemed to get past, even though the Lord had chosen him to minister mainly to the Gentile people, Paul never seemed to get past the burden that he had for his own nationality. You can find in the 10th chapter of Romans that Paul expressed his burden for the Jews, his kinsmen according to the flesh. And he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul said they have this outward expression, they have this outward zeal of God, but they don't know Him. But he had a great burden and a great desire for them to be saved. And I have observed this week in this revival effort that I believe that the church here is burdened about you that are lost, and we want to see you saved. And I also have observed that in the midst of people bowing here on the mourner's bench and seeking the Lord, and knowing that we are among those that are hellbound, knowing that there are those here today among us even that by them not having told us that they have experienced grace, that they have experienced the new birth and still lost and in their sins, we know that we are among people today that are bound for eternal damnation. And that's a great burden on the hearts of those that are saved. Paul was greatly burdened that those people were on their way to eternal destruction and wanted to see them saved. But by the same token, as I have witnessed, it seemed the burdened hearts of people this week over the fact that there are those that are not saved, yet in the midst of all of it, there's been great rejoicing. And there's been great peace that has been spoken about. And I was moved yesterday evening when we were here in our service. I was moved by Brother Carlock's testimony when he told us that he realized that his time on the earth was drawing close to the end, but that that's all right. And that's a wonderful, and Brother Weed already expressed it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. It's a wonderful thing to know and be assured in your heart that everything is okay with your soul. And we today, not only are we here among those that are at this time that are eternally bound for destruction, because they're lost and in their sins, and the only hope for them is to find pardon in the Lord Jesus Christ. And lost friend, if you will do that while you have the time and the opportunity that God has given you, then he can take you off that broad road that leads to destruction and you can become heavenly bound. But there are many of us here today that are bound for the promised land. We're bound for a great city, a great land that God has prepared for his people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And those preparations can only be made while you have time here in this world to seek the Lord and be saved. And so Paul, as I said, was a man that we can find in the scriptures. We can read about his ministry and we can find that he was very burdened about those who were lost and not ready to go. But yet, despite his burden, and we find the Apostle Paul in his writing to the Philippians, he expressed it by saying that I'm in a strait betwixt two. And it's already been made known this morning, I believe perhaps it was Sister Goodman in her testimony. She spoke a truth about those of us that are saved, that sometimes we just begin to desire and to yearn after that day when we're going to get to lay down this robe of flesh and this sinful body and go and be in that place that God has waiting for us. And Paul found himself in that same predicament, in that same spiritual predicament, because he wrote and he said that he had a desire, he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. I'm going to tell you something today for all of us that are saved. We're going to make, I don't know how your life is going to go here in this world, but I know one thing, if you've been saved by God's grace, you're on your way to making great gain. We're going to make great gain one of these days. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I want to encourage you today, if you know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, don't let death trouble you. Don't let anything about it trouble you, because we're not going to lose a thing when we die. We're not going to suffer any loss at all when we die. We're going to make great gain. We're going to say goodbye one day to a land of sin and a land of sorrow and say hello to the Lord in a land where those things will never plague us again. Heaven's going to be wonderful. And it's going to be great gain when we get there. And so Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, nevertheless, it's needful for you that I abide in the flesh. You see, I believe that Paul's life on the earth and his mindset about his life on the earth was all about working for the Lord. He knew that it was to his advantage to just go ahead and be disrobed from the flesh and go home and be with God. He knew that that would be far better for him, that he would be in a better place, that he would be experiencing better things. But he realized that there was work that he needed to do, and his desire to stay here was not about him, it was about other people. And you know, when you really get close to the Lord, you'll experience the same thing. It won't be your desire. I'm going to tell you something. The righteous soul has no desire to stay in the corruptible body. It just doesn't desire that. It wants to fly. It wants to be free. It wants to go to heaven. That's what causes the warfare within us, is that righteous soul doesn't want to be housed in this unrighteous, sinful body. It wants to be free. It wants to be free. And that desire sometimes just bubbles up down inside of those who are ready to go. And so despite all of Paul's burdens that he felt in his life, and despite his realization that he needed to stay here and preach the gospel and labor in behalf of those who needed to hear about Jesus and who needed to be saved, yet when this time came, when he realized that his end was drawing near, he wrote to his young preacher friend Timothy, and he said, "I'm ready." Paul knew that, he was going to leave all that behind. And listen, I want you to know something today. If you're here and you're lost, that you are among people today that want you to go with us. We want you to go to heaven with us. It's already been mentioned this morning, and I had this on my mind before I ever came here today. Despite whatever anybody may have done to me in my life, or despite how there have been those people that have greatly hurt somebody that I greatly love, and there have been people in the world that have hurt me in my life, but I can stand before you today with an honest heart, and I can say before you with all dignity and sincerity today that there's not a person living on the face of this earth that I would want to see miss heaven. I don't want anybody to miss heaven. I would love for everybody to come and to go with us. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though that we are burdened for your soul, and I believe that, you know, as long as we live here in the world, at least I hope and pray that as long as God leaves us in the world, that we will be burdened over those that are not saved, that we will have that desire down in our soul to see other people saved. Listen, if you don't have that burden, you're not going to share the story with them. If you're not burdened about their soul, you're not likely to share the gospel with anybody. If you're not burdened about somebody being saved, you're not likely to share your experience with that person. But when you're burdened about their soul, then you have a tendency to do those things, to share with people what the Lord has done for you. And so those of you that are here today that are not saved, you're in a good place right now. You could be out here somewhere among people of the world. You could be out at some in some sort of entertainment today, or somewhere among the people of this world, and be surrounded about people that could care less about the condition of your soul. And you're blessed by being among people that are on their way to the glory world, and that have a desire to see you go with them, that will urge you and beg you to seek the Lord, and that will pray for your soul. But lost friend, listen, I want you to know something. As much as we desire that, we're going to heaven. We're going to leave one of these days. And we're going to leave all that behind. And I'll tell you what, friends, listen. One step on the streets of gold, and we'll leave behind every burden that we've ever had. We're going to heaven. Nothing's going to stop that. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we're going to walk the streets of gold. I believe that God can give us in our heart the assurance that Paul expressed here when we may realize that the time is drawing short, you know, because God can show us those things. He showed the Apostle Peter, didn't he? Peter told us very plainly that the Lord had shown unto him that his time to go was near. And God, I believe Paul realized in this that his time to go was near. And the Lord can give us the same assurance that he gave unto them when Paul just wrote to Timothy and said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew what was waiting ahead for him. He spoke about what waits ahead for all of us that are saved. Paul said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We are here on the earth for the time that we are here. Those of us that have come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin and have the wonderful privilege of being members of the Lord's church. Friends, listen, if you've got any question about why you're here, I believe the Bible makes it very plain. The Lord left us here to work. He left us here to work for him. The very moment that God saved your soul, the very moment that he spoke peace to your soul and saved you by his grace, when he did that for all of us, we would have been better off if he would have just taken us right then into the portals of glory to be with him. We would have been better off. But he didn't do that, did he? He left us here to labor towards those that are not saved. But we're going to a beautiful city. I'll tell you, we are. There's a place waiting for us. And I can't tell you where heaven is geographically. I know the Bible talks about heaven being up. And I can't tell you where heaven is geographically. But I can tell you how close it is for everybody that's saved. Heaven's nothing more than a breath away. That's it. That last breath that we draw in this world will go immediately to be with the Lord. And I want you to know, and I feel from, you know, from what I have known through the years and what I have witnessed since I've been here the last 5 or 6 months, I want you to know that I believe this church here at Fairview Memorial has a great desire for you to come and go with us on the journey that we're on, for you to be on that narrow road that's leading unto life. You know, we have a desire that nobody would be left behind. But listen, those that are praying for you, those that are urging you and seeking you to come to the Lord and to trust him with all your heart, one by one, when our time comes, we're going to go. We're going to go. We're going to make that journey and go to be with God. And we're going to leave all of those burdens behind us and never ever again will we know them. We won't be up in heaven praying for lost souls. We won't be up in heaven burdened over those that are lost. That's something that we do while we're here. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord pass by here this week and that he's been here. I'm thankful to the Lord that on Friday night that Miranda got saved. I'm thankful that one more. I'm glad today that one more. We have a new sister now. And I'm glad that one more found the Lord. And there's one more on the journey, traveling with us now towards heaven than what there was before we started the meeting. And I look forward and pray that God will give us more souls for our labors. Friends, but listen, I want you to know this. The bottom line is that we as the children of God, we're going to heaven. We're going to make our journey. We're going to make our flight here in a little while. And we're going to go. And I pray that you'll get ready. That you'll get ready to go with us. It seemed like this week that the more that I witnessed people bowed at the mourner's bench, and just seemingly for whatever reason it is, just not able to get through to the Lord, the more I saw it, the more burdened my heart became about it. You know, a church is a very special thing. We come here and we've got something in common with each other that the world just doesn't have. We've got a kindred spirit. I'll tell you what, out in the world, you can have a good friendship with somebody. I mean, you can really, a person could really care about somebody else. You could have a good fellowship with somebody. But we've got a kindred spirit among us that the world just doesn't have. I pray that they will all experience that they will have it. But there's just something about the people of God. I mean, there's something that exists among us that the world just doesn't have, and we know that we are headed for the same place, and we know deep down in our soul that there's a land that's waiting for us. I'll tell you what, Sister Treva, we haven't heard any shouting yet. We haven't heard the half of what it's going to be like in heaven. I know this, that we're going to worship there. We're going to constantly worship the Lord, and we're not going to be hindered by anything. And we're going with or without you. But we sure do want you to go. Because from time to time, week to week, year to year, as the church assembles, as we come together and we worship, there are those that sit among us that are not ready for the journey. And we become burdened about them. And we don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want to see anybody left behind. I want you to know something today, lost soul. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Life is a beautiful gift from God. It really is. But God's desire is for everybody to find eternal life. And as beautiful as life is, and with the things that God would bless you with here in this world, you spend your time here in this world and you could be blessed enough to have a wonderful husband or a wonderful wife. You could be blessed enough to have children born to that union and raise children up. You could be blessed enough to enjoy the everyday things of life. But no matter what happens in this world, if you don't find salvation, if you don't find the Lord along the way, no matter how good your earthly life may have seemed to be, it would have been better off if you would have never even existed. You'd have been better off to never been born than to be born into this world and go through this life and miss heaven. Don't you want to go? I'm going. I'm going. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how much longer the Lord will use me to labor. I don't know how much longer He'll use you. I know our days are numbered, and I know God knows the number. I know God knows when He's going to call us out of the walks of this life. I don't know when it's going to be, but God does. But I know for all of us that are saved that we're going to that land. God's got room. I mean, He's got room there for everybody that will come to Him and seek Him. Isn't it wonderful when somebody loves you enough to include you in something? I mean, isn't that a blessing? Somebody comes to you and they say, you know, my family and I, we're going to go over here and we're going to do this or that. Why don't you come with us? And you know that they care enough about you to include you in their plans. Isn't it wonderful that God has invited you to the greatest land that's ever been known? He has. I mean, he said He sent out the invitation to all the ends of the earth to come unto Him and be saved and come to know Him and lay down the walks of this life one day and go to a beautiful heaven. This is all about. This is not about something just for time. This is about eternity. Folks, we're dealing with eternal matters this morning. We're dealing with eternal matters. If you miss heaven, you're going to have to experience the torments and the agony of a devil's hell for all eternity. You see, there's only two places. There's heaven, there's hell. Doesn't matter what anybody has said. Doesn't matter what anybody has told you. The Bible doesn't teach anywhere that there's a limbo. It doesn't teach that there's a purgatory. It doesn't teach anywhere that there's a place in between where people go and wait. It's just not there, friends. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. I'd like for us to have a song. That's my little thought to you today. We're going up to heaven. Don't you want to go? If you have a desire to go, you're going to have to make things right with the Lord. You're going to have to be born by the Spirit of God, or else you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Let's stand and sing.